When a man is ordained to the priesthood, it is customary that he produces what is often called an ordination card. It's a card that has some religious art on one side and usually a prayer or a quote of scripture on the other side, given to the guests, those who attended the ordination, those who've come to his first masses. For my ordination, the image that I chose was actually the image of Christ the High Priest in the stained glass window in the center of our cathedral. And on the reverse side, the passage we just heard from the letter to the Hebrews. Why? Because in my prayer and preparing to be a priest, I saw that as an encapsulation of the exalted, awesome nature of this thing we call the Mass, the sacred liturgy, the Eucharist. Granted, this may require some context for us to understand what is taking place here. We must recall that scholars believe that the letter of the Hebrews to the Hebrews was written to converts to Christianity who were once priests in the Jewish temple. So they are very much acquainted with the cult and ritual practices of the Jewish people. And so there are many allusions here to the Old Testament, to the story of the children of Israel. And that there is this allusion very strongly at the very beginning here. For us who may not know, may go over our heads. The author of this letter speaks about how a contrast between what can be touched and something that is beyond capable of being touched. What was touched before? Blazing fire, gloomy darkness, storm and trumpet blast, a voice speaking words. What is this? This recounts the experience of the chosen people as they gathered around the mountain of God in the Exodus, when God gave the Ten Commandments, gave the law to Moses in this holy mountain. And so it was marked by blazing fire and darkness, storm and trumpet blast, and this thunderous voice that frightened the Jewish people so much that they begged that they would never hear from him, from God, directly again. Instead, they had Moses and essentially pushed him towards the mountain and says, "You speak for us. You listen for us, and then we will listen to you." In this letter to the Hebrews, we, those first converts, and we ourselves are invited to ponder and be astounded by the reality that what we encounter every time we come to Mass is more profound, is more glorious than even God giving the Ten Commandments in this dramatic fashion. We hear, "No, you have approached Mount Zion, the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem." What is this? It says that whenever we come to Mass, it is as if we are entering into heaven itself, or heaven comes to us. Because the actions that take place here, especially that of the priest consecrating the bread and wine to be the body and blood of Christ, is not his own action, it's not my action. Rather, it is me as a priest, and it says, entering into that eternal action of Jesus Christ, who offered himself once and for all as the perfect sacrifice upon the cross. The day before his crucifixion, as we well know, Jesus celebrated his Last Supper, in which he said, "This is my body," holding what looked like bread, "and this is my blood," holding what looked like a cup of wine. And he inaugurated the Eucharist. It is something that we don't celebrate independently from God or disconnected from heaven, but truly intimately united with him. This letter goes on. So we've approached heaven. Countless angels in festal gathering. If you read the book of Revelation, a lot of people could be caught up in the apocalyptic end times kind of things. But really, if we look at it, overall what takes place, what frames all this, is a heavenly liturgy, the perfect Mass, as it were, with saints and angels gathered around God worshiping him. So we come to these angels. And whenever we pray in Mass, right before we kneel down, we sing the Holy, 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 or the Sanctus, 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 words that are seen and heard on the lips of angels in the book of Revelation and the book of the prophet Isaiah, as the prophet Isaiah and St. John witnessed this heavenly reality. The letter goes on to speak about the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, that is, the saints of the church, united with the firstborn of God, that is, God, Christ himself. And of course, there's God, the judge of all, through it all. The spirits of the just made perfect, likely those men, holy men and women of the Old Testament, now made perfect through the mercy of Christ. And then we have Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. A reference to, of course, the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, given in mercy for the world. In contrast to the blood of Abel, which we may know from Genesis, the story of the first fratricide, how God confronted Cain after he murdered his brother Abel and said, "Your brother's blood cries out for vengeance." But the blood of Christ does not cry out for vengeance, but rather for mercy, and invites us to experience life now and in heaven. I think for us as Catholics, it's so important for us to feed our intellect so that our eyes of faith may be strengthened, because it can be so easy for us to come to Mass and leave unimpressed if we do not know what to look for, what to place our hope and place our faith in. But truly, this is an awesome experience, something that we cannot perceive with our physical senses, but truly through the gift of faith. We enter into a profound reality, approaching Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And in light of this, and also in light of, frankly, perhaps an experience of evil in the world, both natural in terms of hurricanes and other disaster that may be going, that are taking place right now, and also evil in the moral sense, as we reel again from another experience of mass shooting, this time in Texas, I would like to propose to you, my brothers and sisters, that we do a little, something a little different from the way we normally pray Mass here. It's customary, I think we may have visitors here, it's customary here at the cathedral and pretty much any other Catholic parish, normal Catholic parish, that the priest celebrates the Eucharistic prayer at the altar facing the people. Right? At the same time, though, it is still within the tradition and the practice of the Church for the priest to pray facing the other direction, what we call ad orientem, that is, to the east, which was the ancient way of praying the Mass, something that really changed dramatically around the time of the Second Vatican Council. Some of our older parishioners here or guests may have certain associations with this form of prayer or that prayer, but I propose this to us today as a special way, on one, to more deeply reflect upon the awesome transcendent quality of the Mass as reflect upon the second reading, but also as we confront and maybe are weighed down by the experience of evil in the world, that together, priest and laity alike, we can all be facing the same direction together, united in prayer, seeking in hope for the coming of Christ and his justice and his peace. The traditional language is ad orientem, to the east. Literally, I know we are, that'll be facing south. But the east has often been seen as the place from which hope comes. We turn to the east in the middle of the night to wait for the dawn. An Advent hymn, "People Look East," right, is one way of announcing the expectation, the longing for Christ to come to us at Christmas. In the face of evil, In the face of darkness, sometimes we may feel helpless. But we know that we are united in the body of Christ. We know that we are capable of entering into a reality that is perfect. And by entering into that, as we come out of that, we can bring a share of that into our families, into our homes, into our workplaces, into our community, so that we can begin the transformation or continue the transformation our Lord desires to see in this world. So my brothers and sisters, I invite you, as you prepare to enter even more deeply into this profound reality of the Mass and the Eucharist, that we pray together, that as we kneel before God as people in need of Him, as sinners, as people hurting and need, that we can offer prayers for ourselves, for our family, our neighbors, strangers, and indeed for the whole world.